Hey there, Story Miners. Welcome once again to the Memoir Club, where everyday memories become unforgettable stories. So grab your favorite drink, open up that notebook, and settle in. I'm your host, Wayne Jordan, and today we're digging into a memory that just might surprise you. So let's get started. In episode 14, we'll talk about plans that backfired. We've all had them. Some plans feel bulletproof when we sketch them out in our heads, don't they? Reservations are set, the timing is just right, and the variables look manageable. Then the world laughs and offers a plot twist. This episode is about those moments and how to write them so readers feel your feet slipping and feel your relief when you've handled things. We'll start with a personal story about my family vacation that ran into a stubborn storm. After that, I'll share ways to shape your own went sideways stories without self-pity or blame. We'll finish with a listener mailbox question about dialogue, since conversations are often where a plan starts to wobble. And we'll explore some craft choices that can make your pages sound like life, not a script. You've lived for this moment. The plan is set, bags are packed, the route is mapped, everyone is briefed. There's a calm that comes from believing you've done your homework, and you can almost see the photographs that will end up on the fridge. Then something shifts, or something large refuses to move, and your elegant idea falls apart. What stays with us is not only the failure of the plan, it's the feeling of helplessness as the ground moves under you. It's the smell of wet jackets in a hotel lobby or the coolant leaking from your car. That's the gold you can mine on the page. So today, I want to help you write those scenes in a way that feels honest and light on its feet. Not a complaint, not a takedown of the weather, or the waiter, or the cousin who forgot the cake. Just a real moment told cleanly with enough detail to put the reader there beside you. So here's my personal story. Back in 1989, my wife and I owned an old-fashioned mom-and-pop piano store in the historic district of Annapolis, Maryland. It was the kind of place where when you walked in the front door, you could smell the lacquer from the shop and hear the pinging of a piano being tuned and the phone ringing off the hook. If it had to do with pianos, we did it. We sold them, rented them, moved them, tuned them, refinished them, and taught lessons. Now, on paper, I was the coach in the dugout, calling the plays. In practice, I was also the shortstop one day, or the catcher the next, the ground crew the day after that. 60-hour weeks were normal. And in addition to that, on the family front, our boys were at that energetic age when every activity involved a uniform or a ride, and we served on civic committees. Our calendar never had a free square. Well, one evening, my wife and I looked at each other across a pile of invoices and said what every overworked couple says sooner or later. If we don't plan a vacation, we'll never take one. So we stopped what we were doing and started planning a family vacation. We wanted something close where we didn't spend a lot of travel time, so we'd go to a family favorite, Ocean City, Maryland. It was close enough for an easy drive and familiar enough to serve up some of our favorites every day. We'd let the boys each bring a friend, and we splurged on a new beachfront hotel with a suite, because when you have four kids bouncing off the walls, square footage isn't a luxury, it's sanity. But when we're talking about a beach trip, I worried about the weather. I wanted sun on my skin and salt in the air, not a week of board games under fluorescent lights. Since weather forecasts only reached out a few days, I decided to go a step farther, and I picked up a copy of the Farmer's Almanac from a rack at the drugstore. I figured, well, if farmers could set their planting seasons by this thing, then I could pick a week to sit by the sea. So I studied the book, circled the dates with the most promise, and booked the vacation. When our vacation week arrived, the weatherman pointed to a little swirl off the North Carolina coast, a potential hurricane. But the storm's track showed it easing back into the Atlantic. No problem. I figured maybe a passing shower at most. But on our first night in the hotel, the wind picked up, and by morning, it was raining hard. We were hopeful that it would clear. By noon on the second day, it was clear that the storm wasn't going anywhere. Now, it never touched land, but it stalled 100 miles out into the ocean. And for 3 days, it poured its heart out over Ocean City. The streets filled with water, sandbags went up in front of stores, and the beach closed. Now, unlike most of the town, our hotel never lost power. The indoor pool became our refuge, and we ate our way through the restaurant menu, and in the evenings, we watched movies and played board games. That was exactly how I did not want to spend my vacation. But on the fourth day, the rain stopped, the skies cleared. A few shops were open, most weren't. We made the most of it. We strolled the boardwalk endlessly. There was too much debris on the beach for swimming and sunbathing. Despite the initial disappointment, that trip has become one of our most cherished family memories. And my careful planning using the Farmer's Almanac has become one of our family's inside jokes. To this day, whenever I plan a trip, someone will raise an eyebrow and ask, "Well, did you check the almanac, Dad?" Well, my answer to that is not anymore. These days, surprises are part of the adventure. Backfired plans are wonderful to write about because they come with built-in structure. You have intention and interruption and some kind of shift. If you place the right details in the right order, your readers will naturally adapt to it. So here are a few ways to make that happen. First, name the promise early. Put your expectation up front. If you're writing about a surprise party, let the reader taste the cake before the lights flick on. If you're writing about a trip, let us see the postcard view that you imagined. A clear promise sets up a clean turn. Also, let other people be human. It's tempting to make a villain out of the waiter or the clerk or the friend who forgot to call. Resist that. Give people normal motives, a tired voice, a split-second mistake. The story will feel bigger when no one else has to carry all the blame. Trade blame for adjustment. Show how you adapted. Did you move your fancy dinner to a diner and laugh over the jukebox music? Did you switch from plans to cards and let the evening breathe? Readers root for people who adapt. And if you want a simple way to draft a scene like this, try a set of timed passes, 2 minutes to write the promise, 2 minutes on the turnaround, what happened, 2 minutes on what changed in you, and then stop and read it aloud. Mark the one detail that carries most of the feeling, and in your next pass, build the scene around that detail and cut anything that competes with it. A few writing craft moves help as well. Real time is messy, so on the page, pull the slack out of the sequence. Compress the story. Skip the errands that don't change the stakes. Keep the story moving. Be selective about dialogue. One honest line is stronger than a paragraph of reconstruction. If you can't recall words, then capture the tone. A soft apology, a dry joke, a child's blunt truth. Readers will hear it if you shape it correctly. And if you're having trouble, experiment with another point of view. Write a short pass from someone else's angle, the clerk who tried to find you a room, or the neighbor who brought towels. You may not keep that version, but you'll see your own scene more clearly if you're looking through someone else's eyes. The aim isn't to prove that the universe ruined your day. The aim is to show how a day surprised you and how you dealt with that surprise. So the key takeaway is this: plans fail, stories grow. When you write a misfire, let the promise shine, let the turn land, and let your closing image hold the change. If you keep the telling honest and spare, readers will feel both the wince and the smile. That's the sweet spot your memoir can live in. Well, the jaunty accordion music tells me it's time for Listener's Mailbox. So let's dig in and see what we've got. This week's question comes from Marjorie in North Carolina, who asks, how do I make conversations sound natural without putting words in someone's mouth? Well, Marjorie, dialogue is the number one thing that memoirists struggle with. It's not likely that you can accurately represent what you said, much less what someone else said. So here's how to handle it. Say what you're doing. A simple cue such as, well, the way I remember it, lets readers know that you're reaching for the truth, not a court transcript. Permission eases suspicion. Write around the line you do remember. Sometimes one sentence survives intact. Build a short exchange that leads to that line and a short beat that follows. Keep it tight. Let the remembered sentence ring. Don't clutter it up with a lot of made-up dialogue. But be sure you protect the real people. Change a name, that's okay. Blur a timeline, that's okay too. Or you can fold two similar exchanges into one. You can be fair and still tell the truth of the situation and still be frank. So good luck, Marjorie, and drop me a line. Let me know how you made out with this. Okay, here's our prompt of the week. I want you to write about a plan that backfired. Begin with a promise. Paint the picture you carried in your head. Show us the first signal that all was not well, and then place us at the moment you recognized it, and close with the image that stayed with you after the dust settled. If you need a hand getting started, list three concrete details from the plan that you made, and then keep the strongest and cut the other two. Describe your physical reaction when the plan turned. One sentence is enough. And when you're done, close with a single line that you or someone else still repeats about that day. And if you want an extra challenge, borrow another point of view. Write a short pass from the clerk, the cousin, the kid in the back seat, then return to your own voice and carry over the one fresh insight that the new angle gave you. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining me. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to check out the Story Sparks newsletter. Each issue includes a link to the latest episode, the weekly writing prompt, and a printable scene builder worksheet to help you turn memories into stories. It's free, and it's a great way to keep your writing going between episodes. You can subscribe anytime at memoirclub.net. I'm Wayne Jordan, and I appreciate you spending a little time with me today. Until next time, keep telling the stories that only you can tell.